Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 21 and 22. Fathers, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will become discouraged and quit trying. This is what I tried my best to do as we were raising our children. Every time they come and ask me for something, I thought about what they said. Is there any reason that I would have to say no? You know, can I say yes to what their requests? Because I noticed in parents, one of the children walk up and say, Dad, can I go home with Tim? And the man say, no, no. And I got to paying attention to parents. And some of them, they ain't even listening to what their children are asking. They just say no. Well, you're aggravating your children, and your children are going to get to where if the only answer you have is no, they're going to stop asking. They're going to do what they want to do, and then if there's a consequence to suffer, they'll just suffer the consequence. But I learned that lesson. I don't want to aggravate my children. So if they ask for something, I stop and think, is there a reason why I should say no? In fact, I remember one time when Amanda, the little girl next door, they moved in, a new couple. They looked like a nice couple, had a little girl about Amanda's age. And of course, Amanda came over with her and says, Dad, can I go over and spend the afternoon with whatever the little girl's name was? And I thought about it a minute and I thought, okay, I guess so. And so she looked at me kind of strange and she went over there and she didn't stay but just a little while. And she came home by herself. Now, she's only about 6 or 8 years old. She says, Daddy, why did you say yes? I said, well, you asked me. She said, but Daddy, I wanted to look good in front of my new friend. Daddy, we don't even know them. They just moved in. We don't know anything about them. I can't believe you said yes. See, what she wanted me to say was no. Now, isn't that something? She wanted me to say no. Because she wanted me to at least rationalize like she was doing. She wanted to bring her little friend and said, Dad, can I go and spend the afternoon with Melissa or whatever her name was? And I thought about it a minute and I said, sure, no problem. And when she just backed off and looked, and then she walked out the door with her, I thought, there's something wrong here. I don't know what it was. But Amanda couldn't believe her daddy would let her go home with a new little girl that just moved in, that even in the afternoon in the broad daylight, that we don't know anything about this family. She said, well, Daddy, at least you should have went over and met with the family and spent an hour or two with them to find out something about them before you ever say, yes, I can go over there. Isn't that something? Of course. But, you know, today we don't even think about wisdom. But, you know, the thing about it is by the time Amanda was 6 or 7 or 8 years old, whatever she was at that time, I had read the Word of God completely through to her at least twice. At least twice. You know, sir, I started reading the Word of God to Amanda when she was 1 month old. And Tim was 2 years old, and I read the Bible to him every night till they got grown. You know, so they heard the Word of God. Where does wisdom come from? From the Word. And then they hear things in it. You read it to them, they hear things you don't even get. I know, I've been there and done that. But I was amazed that she was so upset with me. But, you know, I don't want to aggravate my children, so I have learned that if every time one of them comes to me and says, Dad, can I go do this? I say, no. Don't even think about it. Just say, no. Dad, can I go do this? Nope. Dad, can I do this? Nope. Well, then you get to where they don't ask. They know you're going to say no, so you're going to aggravate them, and they're going to say, why ask Dad? He's going to say no. He never says yes, so we'll just go ahead and do what we want to do, and then we'll suffer the consequences, if there is a consequence. But don't do that to your children. Say yes to your children as much as possible, so when you do say no, they're going to say, what's wrong here? Is there something? Yes, I don't quite understand this situation. So in this case, I'm telling you, you can't do that. Well, they'll accept it then. They'll feel like you're using a little wisdom. Then he says, you slaves must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Today, this is employer relationships. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. In other words, when you become a true son, you work different than you do when you're just an employee. I mean, I work for companies. I knew I was required to put in 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But I never put in 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day was not uncommon for me. And if they called me in, if I had to go in and work on Saturday, I never grumbled and complained. I was working as unto the Lord, not unto them. And the Lord blessed me for doing that. It says, you slaves, you must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. You know, and there's some people that if you're not watching them, they're goofing off. You know, they really are. You know, they're not doing anything. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Well, people don't have reverent fear of God. They don't realize that God is watching you 24/7. You know, I think about this man that his father-in-law come to him one day, and this guy was a contractor. His father-in-law come to his son-in-law, which was a contractor, and he told him, said, I want you to build me the most beautiful 2,000 square foot house that you've ever built. I don't want to cut no corners nowhere. I want it to be beautiful. And I will pay you whatever it takes, but I want a perfect house. And so the son-in-law thought, okay, this is one time I'll get my father-in-law. I'll build, and everywhere I can cut a corner, I will cut a corner, but I'll charge him for the most, the best. And so he got the house built. The father-in-law wasn't there when he was building it, so he didn't know what he was doing. So when he got back, he said, it looked beautiful on the outside. You know, he did look like he didn't cut any corners anywhere. So whenever he got home and he said, okay, it's built just like I want. He said, yeah, and it cost you this much money to build it. I didn't spare no cost nowhere. So he gave him the check and said, okay, good. Here is this house. I'm glad you built it perfect. He said, now then, and he handed him the keys and he said, okay, now then let me give you the keys. This is what I built for you and my daughter-in-law. Would that get to you? Your father-in-law told you to build a house, cut no corners, because he knew you and your daughter-in-law, his daughter, was going to live in that the rest of your life. He wanted to be perfect. And you cut every corner you could. Now this sucker's going to fall apart on you, and you're going to be living in it. Do you reap what you sow? Isn't that something? God told us we reap what I sow, what we sow. So he said, not just when they're watching you. Now, if the father-in-law had been there and watching this house being built every day and knew what he was doing, he couldn't have cut no corners, could he? But see, is God always there watching you and me? He knows everything we're doing, everything we're thinking. He knows everything. So you can't cut no corners with God. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That's Colossians 3:23. I learned that by heart years ago in a Baptist church. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Because the Lord is going to give you your inheritance or your reward. Remember, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. Why do we work so hard around here? We're all know here we're working for the Lord. Everything we're doing is unto God. He's going to take care of it, and He blesses us. He blesses us. I got tickled at Sharon. Sharon always calls out the trash. You know, I mean, several of the girls around here do, but Sharon, she's a trash hauler. I mean, she'll go to the bathroom, she'll get stuff. I said something one day, I said, well, Sharon, you're just an extra blessing here. That's all there is to it. She says, oh, no, I'll get my reward. I'll get my reward. Well, she got her reward. Sharon had some money, and she wanted another car. And so she asked me if I would look for her a car. So I started looking and looking and looking and looking. We were thinking we were going to get one about maybe a 99 or maybe a 2000, maybe a 2002 or 3. But we didn't dream that we were going to find a 2011 with 10,000 miles on it for the money she had. But we found her it's perfect, exactly what she wanted, had everything on it she wanted, and it's beautiful and perfect, and it's a 2011 with 10,000 miles. I told her, that's your trash reward. That's how God blessed you for taking out the trash. You see where I'm coming from? Because she didn't ask nobody to do it. She just did it. You know, she's working as unto the Lord. Everybody around here works like that. I will have to say, we all do different things. And God takes care of us. He takes care of us. In some way or another, God takes care of all of us here at the Ministry Center. I am so grateful that I work for the Lord, that I don't work for somebody else. I'm working for Jesus. Somebody's got to be in control outside of the Lord, and that's why He put me in here. You know, I'm supposed to be the spiritual head, or the king of this castle, I call myself. I'm the king of this castle. And so I make the final decisions. You know, sometimes they don't like them, but that's okay. I'm responsible. God holds me responsible. I'm so grateful for what He does. Remember, the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. I got a feeling this inheritance is a lot bigger than a car, Sharon. You know that? That's just part of it. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you're serving is Christ. Verse 25. There's a but and an if. Like I say, every time you see a but and an if together, you better really read it carefully. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites who can get away with evil. Does God let any of His children get away with evil? No. Unfortunately, you're going to pay the consequence. You may think, well, I'm working for a guy somewhere, anywhere. You may be working for somebody and you may say, well, you know, I will go up behind the building and sleep tonight. I'm on the duty and there is not a whole lot to do. So I'll just hide out for 2 or 3 hours and take a nap. The people do that. You know that? And then they wonder why, especially if they're God's child, they wonder why they get judged or some kind of sickness and disease. It's amazing. I was a manager for a big outfit down at DFW Airport. I'd been having a little trouble with a boiler. And so I thought, I went to this Christian organization and teaching and everything. I got through about 10 and 10 or 30 or 11, whatever it was. And I thought, well, I'll run by the plant. I'll come back by DFW Airport. And so about 12 or 1230 in the morning, I just come in the back door. I mean, I ain't trying to be quiet or nothing. Of course, there's a lot of noise in a boiler room with the boilers running and all that kind of stuff, pumps running and everything else. So I just walked in, went up top to the second floor on the ladder and walked around the boiler, and there sat with a newspaper in front of me was one of my men. I stood there a minute and I looked and I hollered his name, and he tucked that newspaper down. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, he said, I just come up here to check the boiler. So I thought I'd stop and read the newspaper. I said, you read the newspaper in the cafeteria. I said, you don't read the newspaper up here. You work on the job. I said, you know, if we were not a union here at this place, I'm telling you what I would do with you, son. I would fire you.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Make Allowance for Each Other's Faults, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.